standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Started 2 hours ago, bro. Thanks for listening. 713-780-3776.
Thank you for the time, Jeremy.
Thank you, Julia. Enjoy the offseason. Enjoy Cancun. 713-780-3776. So ESPN, Bill Barnwell, they say the Houston Texans had the NFL's worst offseason. This leads people to say, fire Caserio. That's what we do in sports. Fire that guy. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Keith, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Bill Barnwell always brings the best, very informative, great stuff. I completely agree with him. You know, the Texans have a clear weakness at O-line. They should have addressed it post-Tunsil trade and used all their picks to address the O-line. If you look, you know, the Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl, but if you look at their last few drafts, like they had all those O-linemen retirements. They got three Tylers in the last 4 years. Smith, Guyton, Booker, all are complete juggernauts on their offensive line, and their offense is completely humming. You know, they missed on a pick there, but, you know, they addressed the offensive line, and it's working out for them. And also with the Texans draft, like, you just had so many whiffs. I know BMAC doesn't want to hear it, but the two receivers from the same school back-to-back makes no sense. Just draft the better receiver or don't draft any of them and draft O-line.
Hey, also, that's a bad take. Would you not want Malik Neighbors and Brian Thomas Jr. in the same draft? Would you not want Neighbors and BTJ in the same draft?
No.
Would you not want Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson in the same draft? It doesn't matter if they're two receivers from the same school. Draft the best receiver. Draft the best receiver.
These guys, did Higgins even catch a pass last game?
You know, he got held.
Like, you got to go O-line. Nick Cayley hasn't been good. And then the Kirk and Diggs trades have been bad. And then C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Kenyon Green trades have been bad. And then, you know, letting all these players just walk. Like, who's the seventh-round pick? A guy named Luke Lachey. Who is that?
He's 98 degrees. 98 degrees, Keith. He's a lead singer in one of the best boy bands that's ever existed. 713-780-3776. Mount Rushmore of boy bands. NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, Menudo, and Los Dinos.
I thought you were going to say 98 degrees for your boy Nick Lachey.
98 yeah. degrees sucked.
they had like one good song.
What was it?
You don't know it.
He's a big Cincinnati guy.
He is a big Cincinnati guy. I don't remember the name of
it. He used to date Jessica Simpson.
O-Town not on the list?
O-Town deserves
O-Town.
It.
I remember like it whenever I was in high school. The girls always liked that. What was it? Fallout Boy.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a boy band, though.
It's not a boy band at all. Punk.
That's not a boy band?
No. It's pop punk.
How many? Was there only one person in Fallout Boy?
No, there's like four.
That's a band.
Yeah, but it's not a boy band.
They're a rock band.
Are they guys or girls?
No. Are you really going to be this nitpicky?
I don't know a single song they sing.
Well, I could play one coming back.
I'd rather you not.
You know plenty
of
them.
Well, I'm going to have to now.
Fallout Boy was punk rock.
Yeah.
I thought they were like just a boy band.
No, you know their songs because a lot of times they've been like the college football playoff song.
Oh, really?
A lot of times. Yeah, it's like them or Imagine Dragons.
B. Hannon said O-Town. Was O-Town the one who sang Girl on TV and had Jennifer Love Hewitt in the music video?
I don't remember.
I think that was O-Town.
Do either the Baby Branhams watch the Spider-Man Kids TV show?
Yeah.
That's Fallout Boy.
Did not know that.
The theme song is Fallout Boy.
Remember? Yeah, I think O-Town was the one who sang Girl on TV. That one was pretty good. That wasn't bad.
I don't remember that one.
You don't remember that? That was like, well, you're way younger than me.
No, that's LFO.
LFO?
Yeah.
I liked LFO. LFO had some banger. They had one banger. I think they had a summer song, too. That wasn't bad.
Summer Girls?
That's what it was.
Yeah,
Summer Girls got it going on, something like that. Yeah. Yeah. I liked LFO. Remember the spoof boy band on MTV? I can't remember what they were called. Maybe that was O-Town. I don't remember. But it was like You Plus Me Equals Us. I think they had a song that said You Plus Me Equals Us. All right, Keith.
I remember when McDonald's was giving out Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, and Britney Spears CDs with kids' Happy Meals.
Sheesh.
It was
Britney
awesome.
Spears.
It was awesome.
Oh, man. Yeah,
you got a full CD with your cheeseburger.
Yeah, Philip was like, enough of this boy band stuff. I'm out. I don't blame you, Philip. 713-780-3776. Let's go back out there to the HRMP listener line, though. Mickey, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Mickey?
Hey, afternoon, gentlemen. This is Mickey. I'm currently in Wyoming. I'm a diehard Texans fan. I was just wondering what your thoughts were, you know, the state of affairs. could get a shot at maybe calling some plays. You see what, like, UCLA did with, like, that new Heisel kid once they shoved Foster out the door and stuff, and he kind of rejuvenated that offense. I figure in today's age with ChatGPT and stuff like that, maybe we could throw on Johnson's resume that he went to John Carroll or something to get Nick's attention. But pretty sad state of affair for this offense. I'm still pulling for him up here in Wyoming. And I appreciate the show, guys.
Love it, Mickey. Mickey, where's Mickey from?
Wyoming.
Yeah.
I don't think if there was a change, I don't think it would go to Jerod.
I think it'd be Bill Lazor.
Yeah, I think it'd go to Bill Lazor too. Because why would you go to another person? It's nothing against Jerod Johnson, but another guy who's never called plays before. And he's never been in the Patriot system before. So this he's only familiar with Bill Lazor hasn't either, I don't think. But at least he's called plays in the NFL before. So Lazor would be the guy you would go to if there was a change.
Yeah. Even if they make a change, it's not going to impact the record too much. And it's probably going to be too far gone if they're making a change. Not saying I'm opposed to seeing it. I actually went to high school with Jerod. He was a couple years younger than me. His father, his old man, rest his soul, he was my driver's ed teacher.
Really?
Yeah, Mr. Johnson.
That's awesome.
Larry Johnson was his name. Not Grandmama. Larry Johnson was he had an oldest brother, Marquez, who was he's a strength and conditioning coach, I think with the Vikings currently. Yeah, great family, though. Fantastic family. 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HR&P listener. Did I ever tell you a story? Gerard was trying to get Final Four tickets for me?
No.
Yeah, he texted me. He's like, hey, can you give me tickets to Final Four? It was whenever they were in Indy during the bubble. I was like, man, you're asking the wrong guy. Not for me. Maybe you can find Mark Sanchez on the streets of Indy. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HR&P listener line. Tom, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up?
How y'all doing today?
Wonderful.
Here's all you need to know about the Texans and the worst offseason in the history of forever. If D'Amico isn't concerned, Caserio isn't concerned, then none of us need to be concerned. There you go.
So because they tell you that they're not concerned, we should believe them? Is the logic there? That's crazy.
I think he's being sarcastic.
I hope so.
Because remember Caserio had that little like meet and greet season ticket holders?
Yeah.
They had a guy who kind of sounded like Tom, actually. Might be the same guy. He was like, hey, you know, bless CJ's heart. We're going to get him hurt, you know, like that sort of thing. And Caserio's like, well, if I'm not worried about him and Cap's not worried about him, you shouldn't be worried about him. And then we're all worried.
I think I missed the sarcasm there.
I think he was being sarcastic.
I hope so.
I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. 713-780-3776. Philip is back. He's like, enough LFO, enough Fallout Boy, enough O-Town, enough Backstreet, enough NSYNC, enough New Kids on the Block. Who else? 98 Degrees, all that. Let's go out to HR&P listener line. Philip, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Philip?
Hey, guys. I don't really have a problem with Caserio in the sense that I'd rather have a guy with a blind spot in one area that's really bad but be pretty good in all the others, because to me that's an easier fix. I would rather have that than just somebody who's mediocre at everything. So just get somebody else in the room to be making the decisions on the offensive line. Take Caserio out of it. Just make the call from above him. And he should be willing to recognize, hey, this is an area that I failed in. Maybe somebody else can do better. And the other thing I was going to say was, I don't have a problem with first, second-round picks going to offensive line. I mean, I think you guys said it yesterday. You know, if you have one bad offensive lineman, that's enough to ruin a line. Well, I mean, if you figure we've got Titus Howard and Ursary as the bookends, then trading for a guard or center is a lot cheaper than a tackle. Drafting is a lot cheaper for centers and guards than a tackle. The tackles always go higher. So spending resources on interior offensive line, if you think that those are the guys for you, and I think that would depend on who is the offense coordinator next year, that can make some sense. And what I would want to do almost, and call me crazy, I know you can, my dream scenario would be if you can find an offensive coordinator, if it happens to be one that's under contract with another team, trade for him and one of the linemen on that team that he likes, that runs the system and knows it already, and then use that first and second, and maybe use the third or fourth to trade for those guys, and use the first or second in the draft to draft the other two. So that would be because I don't like the risk of a third rounder on a rookie guard that could be a complete bust when we've already had multiple second rounders who have been busts. So I'd rather take the third and a fourth, get a coordinator, get an interior guy he likes, and then use the first and second on some linemen that he might like in the draft. And that's kind of what I would be thinking. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Philip. Like, I think the idea of trading for an offensive coordinator is fun, but very unrealistic. I mean, we've only really seen it happen for head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
If you want an offensive coordinator from a different team that's very good, you're going to have to fire DeMeco Ryans to make it happen.
Yeah.
It's just the reality. Like, if you want Joe Brady, you probably don't have enough draft capital to do that.
No.
Without it being a bad trade.
No.
Now, to the Nick Caserio point, I can't remember if it was Philip, might have been the previous caller. Yeah, I think if Nick Caserio knows he's not good at evaluating offensive line, and his scouting department is not good at evaluating offensive line, and he's taking the best guys that they say to take, then there should be people who lose their job, and he can keep his. I would be open to that. If he sat in front of a podium and said, our scouting department was not good, we're flushing it out, we're bringing in a new one, cool. Like, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, that stuff should be happening. Like a general manager is going to listen to their scouts. They're going to listen to their coaches at times. Like, I've listened to Caserio talk about the process. Like, he puts a good amount of weight from his scouts, from his college scouts, his pro scouts, all of that. So, in theory, that should already be happening. Maybe it's not. Maybe he's ignoring them and going with, his vibes, what he thinks. This junkie says his ego would not allow himself to bring in someone smarter than him in anything. I mean, maybe he does say the right thing, right? Like, hey, if, there's ever a time whenever they're going to strip me from power, I'm willing to take a step down. Like you said, whenever he mm-hmm. and DeMeco finally got together. But he does like to be the smartest guy in the room. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know what a window is. Yes, you do, idiot. I don't know what drafting by need is. You've been following sports your whole life. You call into Jim Rome and talk about what's going on in the NBA and how the Warriors have a great front office, dynamic. You know what a window is, dude. Mm-hmm. You know what a need is, dude. I don't mind Caserio. Like, I think he's probably a middle of the pack general manager in football. My fear would be firing him and then getting worse because I don't trust the ownership to be great in that area. This is the same ownership that empowered Jack Easterby after they empowered Bill O'Brien after he won a power struggle with Brian Gain. So I don't really trust the ownership to nail the general manager position. Like, I guess you'd go to DeMeco and be like, hey, DeMeco, can you help us out here? But reports say that's the thing. Like, what is his networking like? I don't know. DeMeco was supposed to have say on the coaching staff, and he just hired Nick Caley, if we believe the report. So that's the fear I have when it comes to the whole, replacing Caserio.
Yeah,
thing.
If you were going to, like, trust DeMeco with the GM hire, look, you missed the boat. Adam Peters was the guy. Was the guy. Like, yeah. And now he's the GM of the Washington Commanders, who are being super innovative with the way they're doing things. Bob Myers, the former Warriors GM, works there in Washington. So,
do you see he got a new job? He's still going to work with Washington, but he got hired by like some conglomerate that is part of ownership for like a bunch of different organizations that cross a bunch of different sports.
Interesting.
It's kind of like what Luno is doing in soccer, but he's doing it in America with like the big three sports. It's pretty interesting.
Is it the Boston one?
I have no idea. I have no clue. 713-780-3776. Big Mac. Get to you on the other side. Junkies, where are you with Caserio? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, Jeremy, did you know that we're going to the ESPN bet at LaBerge in Lake Charles this weekend? Myself, Brian, and Sean. We'll be there. Saturday, we'll be doing a show from 12 to 2. On Sunday, we'll be on the air from 10 to 2. So extra bullpen, and I'll be joining Sean and Brian on the show this weekend as we hang out inside ESPN Bet to check out their brand new VIP fan cave section that's available for bookings. We'll be watching the UFC fights going on this weekend on Saturday in the afternoon since the fights are overseas, plus all the college football action, the NFL games. We'll be looking at, I don't know if we're going to go up to 20-leg parlays, but we'll be getting some parlays in this weekend as well. You can get your NBA season-long bets still going on right now at ESPN Bet. And plus, you can earn rewards on every single wager you place when you use your Penn Play card. It's easy to sign up for inside the casino area. You get perks with it, not just, you know, earning rewards on the wagers. You also can get, you know, things for like when you buy food at the casino as well. Plenty of perks with your Penn Play card. They also offer you a chance to place wagers on all of your Houston area teams. Must be 21 plus to bet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Stop by in the summer. Do you remember? Do you remember when we met that summer? New kids on the block had a bunch of hits. Chinese food makes me sick. And I think it's fly when girls stop by for the summer. For the summer.
You're listening to like Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Who doesn't love this song? If you don't like this song,
no, this is a jam.
This
is horrible.
This is, no,
this is like the worst of music.
Yeah, you were not cool.
I can't even ironically like this. The rhymes are horrible.
If you were cool in middle school, high school, you love this song.
I got big
I like
news
for girls who wear Abercrombie and Fitch as a bar.
That was a bar back in our day. Abercrombie and Fitch. You walk in there, you buy preppy clothes and smell like perfume for the next 2 years.
You could call in sick this weekend and not go to Arizona State.
Not
and
good.
You could just drive to Galveston, Texas.
LFO's
to
playing?
See LFO.
Are they playing
on
for real?
Saturday?
Listen to this.
They're playing in Plano tomorrow. And then Galveston on Saturday.
You kids on the block had a lot of hits.
How many times do you think they play this song in one of their shows?
Once a show.
They got played at least twice, right?
They don't play this song twice.
Open and close.
No, the people don't do that, do they?
I think
how many other hits do they have?
They have two hits. They have this one and they have Girl on TV.
They got to play for an hour.
If you call for an encore.
No, they're not playing this song twice.
If you call for an encore, they come back out to this.
100%.
Yeah.
It's a minimum two times they play this.
I think I'm going to listen to LFO all the way to the coach's show tonight. Get me fired up, ready to go.
I want to hear Willie's thoughts on it.
Ask Willie what his favorite boy band from the 90s was.
He's not going to have one.
Oh, you can ask him.
He's going to say like the Purple People Eaters, like the Mean Green Machine. Like he's a football purist, baby. He said waste time with boy bands. You kidding me? This is such a good song.
It's a great song.
All right, 713-780-3776. Quarter Pounder wasn't available. Big Mac, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up?
Boo.
Big Mac?
Big Mac?
Oh, go. Man.
Hey,
can you hear me?
Yeah, yep. We got you.
Okay. I just wanted to say that I had to take the totality of the circumstances and look at Nick's job that he's done over the years and all the busted players that he's drafted, whether they're injuries or having panned out, from the Brevin Jordan to the John Mitchie to Green to Fisher to Juice Scruggs and a lot of other players that I'm probably not mentioning right now. And I'm just wondering what's the true hierarchy, because I thought when they extended him, he became the vice president too. And, like, for D'Amico to sit up there and say that he hired Nick Cayley, and I'm like, man, you don't even know Nick Cayley. They brought him in and interviewed him the first time when they hired Bobby Floyd, and now they bring him back. And you should have fired Cole Popovich because he was part of the problem, yet and still you promote him. And all these people, to me, they have, like, a loyalty problem. Bringing in all these people that you was friends with and associates with, and the product just keeps getting worse and worse, and all these New England ties, and nobody's had any success outside of New England. There used to be a coach without Tom Brady, and you had Vrabel, but Vrabel was a player with them. He wasn't a coach with them. He started coaching after the fact, so... I would be an advocate of firing Nick Cayley, and I'm sure Josh McDaniels is going to get fired. So I'd like to see him be the OC if he didn't get a new head coaching job.
I guess you meant Mike McDaniel. But, yeah, I think the hierarchy question, I feel like Nick Cassero is just calling all the shots.
Yeah, I do too.
Am I being too hard, like too kind to D'Amico wanting to give him a pass on Nick Cayley?
So here's my theory with the Cayley thing, is I think that Cayley and D'Amico, and look, I think Cayley is running the organization. I mean, not Cayley, Cassero. I mean, he is the executive VP. Do you think Hannah and Cal are meddling owners that are telling them what to do? No. Like, Cassero is the biggest boss when it comes to the football side of things in the organization. There's no doubt. And I really don't want the McNairs to be meddling, quite frankly. I don't trust them to do it. I think D'Amico had the first say on offensive coordinator, and it was Bobby Slowick. Like, they were quality control coaches together. They were analysts together. They shared an office together or had offices right next to each other. I think that there was probably, like, a little bit of, you know, disagreement with Slowick. Like, Cassero probably had his guy. D'Amico had his guy. Cassero's probably like, okay, well, you're the coach. You know, you get the OC this time. And they went with Slowick. And I think what happened is, okay, well, this isn't working. I think they met again. And Cassero's like, okay, well, let's try my guy this time. And I think that's the direction they went. I'm not sure how connected D'Amico Ryans is. I don't know the networking there. The Texans also kept a lot of their offensive coaches for Nick Cayley, which is kind of weird. Like, very usually, strange. Hey, you're our offensive coordinator. You hire all your coaches. So that was kind of odd, but that was also a lot of coaches that were already here when Slowick was here that were Cassero guys that actually predate D'Amico. So I think it would be foolish to think that Nick Cayley was just a 100% D'Amico Ryans hire. I think at worst it was like some sort of compromise. D'Amico got his guy the first time, Cassero gets his guy the second time, but still you have a lot of holdover on the offensive staff. It is very, very weird. And look, if Cassero doesn't get fired, and I actually don't think he will.
Really?
No, I would put it at like -115 that he's back next year.
Okay.
Maybe even more. But I do think they're going to clean house on the offensive coaching staff. And I think what needs to happen, and then maybe this is where D'Amico puts his foot down, is that, okay, like all of these guys that have been here for a while are all gone. Whoever we bring in as the offensive coordinator, whoever it is, and I think that you give all that responsibility to D'Amico Ryans, you give that offensive the coordinator all jurisdiction over the offense, and you give him all jurisdiction on who his coaching staff is going to be, whether it's, you know, McDonald, whether it's, you know, Doug Peterson, whether it's Ken Dorsey, whoever it is. You need to give that OC full autonomy to hire every single staffer under him.
I agree. I forgot how bad this search was, though.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Okay, Gerard. These are the coaches that they interviewed: Gerard Johnson, Bill Lazor, Jeff Nixon, the Syracuse offensive coordinator, Nick Cayley, Thad Lewis, who is the Buccaneers QB coach, Adam Stenovich, who is now the Packers OC. Not Colin Place, but he's the Packers OC. Brian Johnson, who's now with the Commanders.
Oh, that was such a bad guy, too, because he was the guy with the Eagles.
Uh-huh.
He was also a coordinator at Houston once upon a time.
And then Grant Udinski, who was the Vikings' assistant offensive coordinator.
That's not a good.
That's their search.
It's not a great net.
You know what I hear when I hear that list?
Cassero.
It was, well, not only Cassero, but it's kind of a sham interview process, and they're always hiring Nick Cayley. Yeah, like, there's not a lot of serious candidates there.
Because, like, if you go back to the Slowick one, at least Slowick had Cliff.
Yeah.
You know, and like maybe Cliff was just like a fake. Maybe Cliff was just a fake to propel the Slowick hire. Like, oh my goodness, we're hiring Slowick when we had the chance to hire Cliff. Like that could have been the case, but at least he was interviewed. You know,
this search is awful.
Yeah, it's not a good search.
I mean, like there's very few guys on here who have called plays.
You know what it kind of sounds like a little bit? It kind of sounds like when they hired Lovie Smith
mm-hmm.
to be the head coach. Like, we're going to hire an interim to replace the guy and keep everybody on his staff. They pretty much do the same thing at OC.
That's exactly what they did.
That's not good.
So, like, it's like they need that's to go through a real process this offseason. And you're right. It needs to end with the offensive coordinator bringing in an entire staff. And that's why you can't go young. Like, you can't. And talk about D'Amico's connections. Like, what are Cayley's connections? Who is Nick Cayley going to hire to be his offensive line coach?
Well, besides
Cole Popovich.
I mean, he'd be connected, though. He's been with the Rams. He's been with the Patriots. Like, he's been more places than D'Amico.
Yeah.
713-780-3776. HRMP listener line. Karen Clark. Will Clark. What's up? You're with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Clark?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say thank you for having me on, but just wanted to talk about that OC search. And really, it's never going to be resolved. It's always going to be a revolving door unless they hire
a former head coach that's an offensive mind. You kind of look at it the other way around. If it's an offensive coach that's looking for a defensive coordinator or offensive head coach that's looking for a defensive coordinator, they always get the former head coaches and they kind of end up working out long term. Like, look at Vance Joseph, I think, over with the Broncos. And so I think if you kind of look at next cycle, whenever the OC comes back open, if you look at, you know, the Mike McDaniel or Doug Peterson or something along those lines, that's going to probably end up solving this revolving door of an OC.
Yeah, I think it's their best path forward. I'm with you. Bring in a coach that was a head coach that is going to have a staff they can put into place and honestly might not have a great chance of getting another job.
Yeah, I think it's a good call. Junkie, we're so trash. another one, can you guys bash Aziz to set up my joke that you'll never read on the air? No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to read your text. Can you guys bash Aziz? And then we're going to bash Aziz and say that he's a headhunter and he makes dumb penalties and he hits guys too late. He cost his team points and he cost his team jar. We're not going to bash Aziz. Sorry. We're not going to do what you told us to do. 713-780-3776. You know what we're going to do, though? We're going to cash him or trash him. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's cash 'em.
That is so good. But that's exactly right.
Or trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With Jeremy and Joe.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
You were right, 1143. I'm not gonna read that on the air. But you did get a chuckle out of me. For better or worse. 713-780-3776. Cash 'em or trash 'em. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? Joe George, go.
Victor Wembanyama will be the best player in the NBA by the end of the season.
Trash.
Trash.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. He's something.
He's not better than Alpi Shingun.
That play last night where he got the block and then went down to the other side with the ball in his hand the whole time, crossed over to the three-pointer. He's something.
Yeah, he's a specimen. I don't think he's going to reach that potential quite yet. I think it's going to take a little bit of time. And, like, I think you're falling in love with highlights, and that's, like, not what I do. Like, I like to just give me the context of a whole game.
I mean, he's the defensive player of the year.
Sure. Yeah.
Already. Like,
cool.
I think offensively, like, what we're seeing.
You go Wemby or the Joker this year only?
I think by the end of the season, I'm going to go Wemby.
Okay, I will not. I won't.
Luka.
You go Shai Gilgeous or Wemby by the end of the year?
Wemby.
Shit.
Come on.
Did you see what happened halfway through the fourth quarter in the double overtime on opening night?
I know.
Shai is a star.
I agree.
So freaking good.
I don't disagree at all.
Luka or Wemby?
I think it'll be Wemby.
I don't love Luka. I think Luka's a little bit of Harden-ish. Giannis? Wemby?
I think it'll be Wemby.
See, I still have Wemby was playing Dallas yesterday. Let's see what he does whenever he goes toe-to-toe with Giannis.
I know.
Let's see what he does for the full body of work. You going Joel Embiid or you going...
Come
I'm
on.
Kidding.
Don't do that. Like, don't. That's not fair.
Joel Embiid looked so bad yesterday. They looked so bad yesterday, but they still won. They won at Boston. Maxey had 40, and yeah. BJ Edgecombe from Baylor went nuts.
I think that's more a reflection of Boston.
Wimby's pretty good though. I'm not gonna.
I just think he's. I mean, he just to me looks like he's gonna be the best player. For a very long time.
Yeah, but you're very rash.
I am. That's why you like me.
You're very rash. You're not like a slow-moving ship. You're
I'm not.
Very.
I'm
you're,
not.
You're nimble and quick with your sports takes.
Yep, I move quickly.
He's gonna. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about Wimby. Cash him or trash him. 713-780-3776. Player props should not go away. This is good. Player props, good. Now, I do agree that we should probably limit the amount of player props in terms of, like, actual bet size and how much you could win on them. Let's lower the exposure there. That way they're not enticed to do it. But I think it's good that all of this stuff's in the public. I think it's good that betting is so much in the forefront now, because back in the day you had mobsters and mafia members killing people when they wouldn't pay their bets. I think in the long run that this is good, even though there is some stain on it today.
Cash. Keep him alive.
Keep him alive. That's really half the battle.
Just limit
keeping people alive.
Just limit how much you can bet. You're right. That's all you got to do.
Brian, what you got?
I think the Texans lose to the Niners this weekend and lose to the Broncos the following weekend, and we're talking draft by the first weekend of November.
I think you might be right.
Cash it.
Cash. Cash.
The offense stinks.
Chip Kelly was another name that was available in the summer. In the summer.
And we don't know. Was he available, though?
He was never interviewed.
Yeah, he was never interviewed.
Yeah, I mean, he was supposedly photoed here in Houston, but he was also still technically the Ohio State offensive coordinator at the time, so, like, no one knows for sure if it was recruiting or an interview, but, like, you have to report your interviews.
I don't think Chip was recruiting at Ohio State.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
He just happened to be in Houston?
No, I think he was probably interviewing for the job.
But I think you have to report it.
I think it was like a lunch.
Okay.
A little lunch. Cash or trash, Rockets will win less games than they did last year.
How many did they win
52
last year?
52?
Something
last
like
year?
That.
Cash.
I'm going to cash it too. I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to be around 50. A little under 52. Cash or trash, the first game of the Rockets season was a Western Conference final preview.
I have to say trash until I see the move they make. Because I think it's Denver OKC, unless the Rockets acquire a point guard.
Yeah, I'm kind of going to trash it too.
Trash.
Now, if they acquire a point guard,
they're going to acquire Fred VanVleet when he's returning from injury.
Next season?
I don't know, man. He's at practice today. I know he's not doing it.
Is that accurate?
But I think he's trying to come back this year. Like, the wording was never lost for the year.
That's true.
I think he's going to try to make it back by the end of the season.
That would be
very
unexpected.
Yeah, I think he's going to try.
I mean, Tatum's going to try to play this year.
What's the shortest window we've seen on ACL? Like,
think,
9 months?
I think nine. Yeah, I think nine. Yeah, but here's the thing. Even if he tries it, I'm not, like, not making moves because he's trying to play
it. It's like the Astros with your rotation, yeah. Right? Like, you can't bet on it.
No.
You got to make another move.
Yeah.
And then you say, okay, now we have Fred and we have X player.
Right.
Amen Thompson's definitely not playing point guard.
Or Fred just in case somebody gets hurt. Like,
yeah.
I am not operating with the idea that even if Fred VanVleet's trying his hardest and is earnest to get back, I'm not operating that he's going to be back. If he gets back, well, it's an added bonus, and we'll cross that bridge when we get there, and we'll see what it looks like. Because even if he's back, what's that going to look like?
Yeah, like, isn't, like, Fred coming back probably best case scenario 10 to 12 minutes a game?
Yeah.
So, like, he's not really – he doesn't fix your problems.
No. He doesn't at all. I think he's going to try to get back, but I wouldn't bank on him being back.
Yeah.
Another junkie, Astros pitching will make a solid number three out of the new guy they just signed. Can't remember his name. His stats suck. Pearson.
Nate Pearson.
From the Woodlands?
Yeah, it's trash. Yeah,
trash.
From the Woodlands. Don't spread fake news. From Florida. He's never even been to Texas prior to this.
You don't know.
Oh, he's played in Texas. No, trash. I think best case scenario, he's a number six starter in your rotation, number five starter in your rotation.
I think he just ends up in the bullpen.
He's an experiment. I've heard four starting pitchers' names that the Astros have in
circled
in their crosshairs.
Can you share?
Not today.
Okay.
Not today.
No, don't do it tomorrow.
Why not?
I won't be here.
I'm going to do it tomorrow.
Where will you be, Joe?
Working from home. And then eventually at a casino.
There you go. Took you a second.
I just was telling the truth.
Yeah, I got DM'd some information today.
Mm.
I got DM'd before Jose Abreu was cut too, remember?
Was this from the same person?
You might not remember. I think Brian was with us at that
time.
Yeah,
I remember that.
I was like,
you told us off air.
I was like, Brian, Jose Abreu is going to get cut today, according to my informant. Mm. And then he got cut today. So...
I'll reach out to my source.
I'm a little uncomfortable with inside sources conversations in light of today's events.
Today?
Yeah.
I'm not betting on this.
What are you doing with it?
I don't think these four starters are on any next team prop bets.
Oh, so they're not good.
I wouldn't say that. I just don't see that in baseball.
Yeah. I'll reach out to my source. I have a source that told me the Astros were going to acquire Carlos Correa beforehand.
Yeah, reach out to your source and then let's compare
and contrast.
What is the word? Convene? Reconvene?
Yep.
Let's reconvene Monday or Tuesday.
Okay.
Probably Tuesday.
I'll reach out and see if he'll share information with me.
Yeah, we'll talk about the names we're hearing. All of mine were pitchers, for what it's worth. I'll give you a little hint, tease. All four of the guys I heard today were pitchers.
There's one guy I want more than anyone else.
Who is it?
Freddie Peralta.
Let me go to the DM.
They're already saying he's on the market.
I'll give you another tease. Freddie Peralta was not one of the four.
That bumps me out.
That I was given information
about.
Because
those losers in Milwaukee are going to trade him.
Oh, no doubt. I wouldn't call them losers though. I like what they do.
I wish they would pay their players in a way.
I like what they do.
I just don't.
It's fun to me.
Give up on guys when they're awesome, but then they just keep winning. That's why I hate them.
Yeah, it's hard to call them losers when they got further than your team, Joe.
Yeah, I know. For one time.
Is championship ring night the most difficult game to win during the regular season for the visiting team? No, I think it's the opposite.
Yeah, I think
no.
It's usually the easiest.
Maybe not the easiest, but it's not more difficult than like a normal night.
Yeah.
I think the Rockets snapped a streak of like 8 in a row where the visiting team on ring night won. That's what they said at the beginning of the broadcast.
Dang.
The only scary thing about scary Terry Rozier today is the prosecution team that he'll be facing in the near future. Probably Cash. Is that his nickname? Do they call Rozier Scary Terry?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He has another nickname, too, that was put out in this documents.
Inmate number whatever.
Chum.
Co-inspirer number 3. Chum?
Yeah, Chum. I don't know why.
Probably because there's Chum in the waters, trying to bring people to his poker game.
No, that's Chauncey.
They call it Chauncey Chum?
No. You got Chauncey's the poker.
Because he's chumming player props by taking dives like Sonny Liston to Ali. Cash or trash? Sonny Liston took a dive to Muhammad Ali.
Trash.
You sure?
No, I'm not.
I'm not sure either.
It was a very quick knockout, though.
Took a dive for the Muhammad
like,
Ali.
What, 1 minute in?
Yeah. He'd like never been knocked out. I don't know. I'm just making that up. All right, 713-780-3776. What is your junkie of the day? And if you want to go watch some college basketball Sunday, I would be listening for the next 13 minutes. 713-780-3776, your junkie of the day next.
Let me tell you about my junkie of the day. My junkie goes out to the owner, Joe, of Old Humble Distilling Company. And sometimes that could be a derogative term, but this way, it's definitely a term of endearment, a term of love, because Joe and Old Humble Distilling Company make the best spirits, the best whiskey I've ever had. If you didn't hear it the last time, Old Humble Distilling Company now has new hours at their tasting room and distillery, more time each day to try their fantastic spirits, so take advantage of that. They're now open Tuesday through Saturday, 3 to 9, so stop by after work, stop by on the weekends, stop by anytime, and try my personal favorite cocktail, the award-winning Maple Cinnamon Sour. Plus, on Wednesdays, their happy hour now goes all night with $8 cocktails until they close. Maybe you try that Maple Cinnamon Sour. And they've added steak nights on Tuesdays at their distillery and tasting room off FM 1960 in Humble. But those are the only ways to enjoy one of their premium handcrafted cocktails because, as I've been telling you about for weeks, they've got a scavenger hunt going on. So make sure you get involved in that. If you live in the Humble, Kingwood, Porter, Atascocita, or anywhere near the north side, go out and take part in the Boomtown Bourbon Hunt for your chance to win free drinks for 3 months. I'll say it one more time. Free drinks for 3 months. How do you win? There are 8 hidden Boomtown Bourbon stops at local bars across the Humble area. The clues can be found at oldhumbledistilling.com or at their distillery and tasting room again at 19103 Continental Parkway, just off FM 1960. Solve the clues, sip the cocktails, then return to Old Humble Distilling Company to claim your legendary challenge coin, which unlocks your prize, a 3-month Roughneck Social Club membership, and a free cocktail every week. It's free to play. All are welcome, but please drink responsibly. Try Old Humble Distilling Company because life's too short for factory whiskey.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
The preview college basketball exhibition doubleheaders coming to Fort Bend Epicenter this Sunday, October 26th. Catch high-level college hoops featuring Texas A&M versus Arizona State at 4 and preseason number 2 in the AP. Houston Cougars, last year's national runner-up, taking on Mississippi State at 6:30. Great doubleheader. You got to answer a trivia question correctly, though, to win these pair of tickets. You can't win these tickets? We'll head over to etix.com and pick up a pair of tickets for the preview college basketball exhibition. Who was the leading scorer on last year's national runner-up? Who led the Houston Cougars in scoring last year? And you win a pair of tickets to see that doubleheader at the Fort Bend Epicenter Preview College Basketball Exhibition. Get your tickets, etix.com, 713-780-3776. Cougar leading scorer last year. Who was it? A pair of tickets heading your way. This Fall Out Boy?
It is, yeah.
great song.
The song's overdone.
No,
it's not a good song.
I want to say the song was on a video game.
Say that again?
I want to say the song was on a video game.
It might have been.
Probably a Madden.
Like one of the Maddens, I think. I think it was.
I think that's
of course I'm right. No ball. All right, Junkie of the Day, 713-780-3776. Joe, Junkie of the Day.
I'm going to nominate Joe Flacco for today for giving credit and recognizing that sometimes doing things by yourself are incredible. He said he was at the bar and he saw this guy like 40 years old just like eating there by himself and he was doing the same thing. It's the best. Yeah, I love doing things by myself.
I do too.
Movie, great.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't do that. It's weird.
So I like movies by myself.
I don't go to movies.
I do that a lot.
You don't go at all?
I can't remember the last movie I went to. It might have been Elvis.
You just wait till they come out?
Yeah, usually. I haven't watched movies as much as I used to, though.
We have very different tastes in movies.
Oh, really?
So, like, she doesn't want to go see the things I go see.
I used to be really pretentious and try to watch all the movies that were nominated for Best Film. But, like, I stopped doing that, like, 7 years ago.
A lot of them are bad.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them are good, though.
A lot of them are overrated.
Yeah, that's fair. No, I'm more of a show guy now. I really don't watch many movies much at all. I can't remember the last movie I watched start to finish.
Yeah, I just like that Joe Flacco gave recognition
to
the truth.
I'm a big fan of it. I do that all the time.
Dinner?
I do it all the time.
Or lunch, I guess, for me more.
I do it all the time. Junkie of the Day, Terry Rozier, Sports Gambling, Chauncey Billups for poker and maybe sports gambling too. Also, Ruth Chepinganich.
Who is that?
She's you don't know who that is. You don't know Ball? Casual?
That guy.
I'll tell you, she's a record winning marathonist.
I do not know this man.
She's a woman. So it's very sexist of you, Brian. But Ruth has been banned for 3 years after admitting to a doping violation. She's Kenyan, though, so you know she's great at marathons.
Cheater. She cheated, though.
She's the Lance Armstrong in marathons.
Not, so she's not great at them.
Well, I mean, I think she was still good at them.
She's trying to hang on.
Barry Bonds argument.
You never seen that?
She won 3 MVPs before she started roiding up.
Yeah, she would have been in the Hall of Fame before she roided. She would have still been in the Hall of Fame.
You don't know anything about
marathonists?
No.
I mean, do you remember the? I think we have a drop, the thunder puns, but it was the turbo stuff.
Turbo puns.
Yeah, that was like part of the video. Was like, she's great at marathon. She's a Kenyan. It was pretty funny. All right, John.
I do not know this man.
It's a woman. It's very insensitive of you.
I just don't like marathons.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, Joe.
Just to say, I don't like them.
You know that I've heard from people who run marathons, though, that you're supposed to put, like, lubrication on certain areas because you chafe.
Yep.
Then areas that you might not normally chafe.
Yeah.
So do that if you ever run a marathon, Joe.
I don't think we're in danger of that. My Junkie of the Day nomination goes out to John Granato, who turned this live read for Aqueduct Plumbing into a roast.
Next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, Lance, you and I, we need to talk about Billy Brown, and we need to talk about, and in a positive way, because there's some people that are misconstruing, like when you look at your toilet all stuffed up that you think of Billy Brown, I think that's a positive, right?
Yeah.
I need to call Billy, not, oh, look at that toilet, looks like Billy Brown. No, that's not what I'm saying. No,
that's not it
That's
at
not
all.
It. That's not it at all.
That looks like Billy Brown?
That's
an unfortunate
last
name.
What's going on
here? Being honest. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He's that's what I'm saying. This, I'm Bill. Not saying that.
He's paying for this. Let John cook.
Okay.
I'm saying it's not the case.
Billy's paying for a roast.
It's not the case. I'm saying it's not that. I'm saying that. And I'm saying you need to think 281-488-6238. When you got a stuffed up toilet, those numbers should come across, right?
Oh, that's right.
281-488-6238. Call Billy, right?
What more can I add? No. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com.
They're the best. There's no one better than John and Lance.
They're the best.
Man, that was gold.
You start just roasting people.
Billy Ray Brown.
Start roasting Joe.
Looks like a pile of pump in, pile of dump in
should
the toilet.
Should I start roasting Joe from Old Humble?
You called him a junkie.
It's a term of endearment.
I actually said that to Joe. I was like, they got that weird junkie relationship. Yeah. They probably like that each other.
He's a Twitcher.
Rib each other.
Yeah,
that was a great time out there. I'm glad we're going back out there. It's gonna be fun. We're gonna get out there for a trivia night too.
Yes, and I think we'll.
So we can come in dead last.
Nah, I think we'll be okay.
We'll kill it. We'll kill it.
I can tell I'm the only realist of the show. All right, well, who's winning? He's got to be the betters, right?
Yeah, the betters.
The Italian mob.
Yikes.
In Granado.
Welcome back to the mob.
Congratulations, you win. You went to jail, but you win. Does it for us. Thanks to Brian for the hard work. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. I'll talk to you tomorrow with Will Kunkel. These two jabronis are off. Swarmcast coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
Just throw this crap out there to get clicks.
ESPN 97.5.